You're listening to the podcast for all of the news, notes, and breakdowns for your Ohio State Buckeyes. This is Sons of the Shoe with Nick Wilson and Spencer German.
It is Sons of the Shoe. It is Spencer German with you here for another show, for another episode as we get you ready for actual Buckeyes football this week. That's right, Buckeyes back in business after their loss to Oregon 2 weeks ago as they will host Nebraska. And the former Ohio State Buckeye recruit, Dylan Raiola, the quarterback for Nebraska, and a Nebraska team that really, I think this program has come a long way already in terms of the rebuild that is kind of underway here under Matt Rhule, the head coach there. And it's a program that had you know, obviously once was one of the more prominent ones in the country and had several decades worth of just dilapidated years. And so it's actually good to see, and I think Nebraska become a competitive team. But the Buckeyes obviously need a big win to bounce back from the Oregon game and reposition themselves back in the national championship picture, especially with what waits on the other side, which we will talk about a little bit today as well. I want to remind you that this is a relatively new podcast. We're over a year old now, so maybe we're not relative. I think we're over a year old. I think we're coming up on actually the one-year anniversary the weekend of the Penn State game, maybe, because it's usually always like Halloween weekend, and that's about where we're going to get that game again. So I think we're coming up on being a year-old podcast, but we want you to like, follow, subscribe, review. Reviewing the podcast is great, too, because it lets people know that you enjoy the show, and then it pops up in people's recommended shows, and then they can also jump in and listen to the show with you. We can have a nice little community here, our Sons of the Shoe. See what I did there? I just took the name and made it into what we're going to call our community of people. But anyway, wherever you get your podcasts, whether it's Apple, Spotify, did I mention Apple, as Nick likes to say? Also, the 92 Through the Fan YouTube channel, you can find us there. But no Nick, as you can tell this week. That's okay. He's got a lot going on, a lot on his plate. But I am here to help us preview this matchup with Nebraska. And we're going to do the standard way we've been doing this more of late, where we kind of go through some different points of reference that we're going to look at and break down as we get set for what should be a fun matchup on Saturday. And one that obviously we know is important for Ohio State, because coming off that loss to Oregon, the margin of error is just a little bit thinner now as you navigate the Big Ten. If you are hoping to make the College Football Playoff, get back into the picture for the Big Ten championship game, which you obviously still are at this point with just the one loss. But yeah, there's a lot that still has to play out, and this is kind of the next step towards getting the season back on track the way that we hope it does. We start, as when we do our previews, with the topic we call the upset scale. On what scale from 1 to 10 could this game feel like it potentially is an upset for the Buckeyes? And I'm going to go with what am I going to go with here? I think I'm going to go with about a 6. I think this Nebraska team is good enough that they can give you a little bit of a scare, but I am not like overly worried about them. I would say most weeks I probably go into a game around like a 5 is like probably the average, because there's always a chance, right? Like there's always a little bit of nervousness. Like I guess I would say like Akron, we weren't doing this at the time, but like Akron, Western Michigan, I would have probably gotten into those games and said like, you know, a 2 or a 1. I wasn't necessarily worried about those two teams upsetting Ohio State, and obviously they didn't. But when you get into Big Ten play, opponents that know you well, opponents that see you every single year pretty much, and that I think the Big Ten has progressively gotten better and better in terms of the teams and the talent that's kind of being spread around the conference now, I think it's worth noting that this Nebraska team could give you a little bit of a scare. So I go a little bit above like an average, which would be a 5, and I say a 6, just because if you sleepwalk through this game or you're rusty in this game, yeah, like Dylan Raiola is a freshman, but he is the type of quarterback that can make enough plays to potentially, you know, pull off some miraculous win or upset or whatever it might be. So I'm going to put this one at like a 6. I'm not overly concerned. I think Ohio State should win. Vegas is telling you that Ohio State should win by a large margin, but it still is kind of in the back of your mind that there's always that possibility with a Nebraska team that I think is on the rise in terms of their recruiting and their stature in the Big Ten, but also across college football. That brings us next to names to know in this matchup this weekend. And I think the obvious one is going to be Dylan Raiola, or as he likes to think of himself, the Patrick Mahomes doppelganger. He has a 66.2 completion percentage, 1,592 yards, 9 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. He threw for a career and season high 297 yards against Illinois a couple weeks back. So he has the ability to go out and sling this ball around the field, which gives you some, again, is probably part of the reason why I put the scale like a 6. We all saw what this Ohio State secondary looked like against Oregon. Now, I'm not saying that Nebraska's skill positions and talent on in that regard are anywhere near what Ohio State has or what Oregon had in the game last 2 weeks ago. Because, I mean, Oregon maybe can stack their skill position players up with anybody in terms of, you know, Ohio State, Georgia, any of the best teams in the country. Their skill positions are right there in the conversation, right there in the mix. I think that's maybe where the big discrepancy is. But because of how poorly that secondary played in that game, I think we're all a little bit weary of what this thing looks like moving forward and if that group really is the best in America, as they like to call themselves. And so you're going to get a little bit of a test in a quarterback that can be a gunslinger and can sort of sling it around and make some plays. So I'm not overly concerned with Dylan Raiola, but I do like he's the most notable player on this team to know and pay attention to. I also think his top receiver, Isaiah Nayor, is a guy to keep an eye on. He has 19 catches, 304 yards, and he has 4 of his 9 touchdowns. Of the 9 touchdowns that Dylan Raiola has, he has 4 of them. So he is the guy that can make some plays. How they cover him, it's the difference is you're maybe only really worried about Nayor is obviously the guy who's kind of leading the team here and leading the charge here, and the guy that you're most nervous about from this Nebraska team. But that doesn't mean that other guys can't do damage as well. They have Jamal Banks on the outside as kind of a complement to Nayor, and he hasn't put up quite the same statistics as Nayor has. He's got not just 94 yards and 1 touchdown, but he also caught a 31 yarder against Rutgers earlier this month. So there are some opportunities for these guys to make some plays, and Raiola certainly gives them a chance to be more explosive and do some different things and attack some different things. But that's kind of the front line of the position, the wide receiver position, but also the skill positions for the Cornhuskers. Now, as we divulge a little bit further into this matchup, there are some other things that you're going to want to pay, some other players that you're going to want to pay attention to. I do think it's probably worth at least, I think it's probably worth mentioning on the defensive side of the ball, Ty Robinson, who has 12 tackles this year, 5 tackles for a loss, 3 of those are sacks. He is their big time disruptor on the defensive front, a guy that can make some plays and that can cause some problems for any opponent. He's a redshirt senior, so he's got that sort of that veteran savviness to his game. And he's going to be a guy that I think probably goes, I don't know about highly in the draft, but he's going to get drafted next year because he is that sort of talented player and a guy that I think can certainly play at the next level, as well as we're seeing him be disruptive in the Big Ten and in college football this year. So, and because of Ohio State's offensive line issues, and we've seen some of those kind of bear out throughout, every single week. But now you mentioned the offensive line issues, obviously we know what happened to Josh Simmons, who is now out for the season, and that's a big blow. Now, I don't know necessarily that you're going to see
Ty Robinson lining up outside of the, you know, in the nine spot or like as a five or whatever, where he's going up against a tackle. But the problems elsewhere on the offensive line and not having Simmons out there could give him opportunities because, you know, you overload one side and make somebody else, you know, cause some problems to a weaker spot. Now he can maybe leak through in the middle and cause some damage. So he's another guy to obviously be to keep an eye on. And I also wrote down cornerback Malcolm Hartzog, who has three interceptions this season. That's pretty impressive. He can make some plays. Now it's a little bit different. I don't know that they've gone up against anybody who has the skill position players that Ohio State has. And so that's going to become something that he's going to have whoever he's going up against, whoever he's guarding on a regular basis, play after play, he's going to have his hands full because this Ohio State receiving core is so good. But the difference is there are other places that Will Howard and others can go. He doesn't have to just hone in on whatever side Hartzog is on and go to that specific player. But those are some names to know. That brings us to the next phase of our preview, which is the key matchup in this game. And for me, I'm looking at you, Denzel Burke, and I don't care if he's going up against Nayer. I don't care if he's going up against Banks. Whoever he is going up against in this game, I need to see him shut down this Nebraska receiving core, most notably Nayer, because that game that he played against Oregon was god-awful. And you guys let him know. We let him know on the post-game episode, but you guys let him know in the comments during the post-game episode just how bad he performed in that game. If it's not what you've come to expect from a player of his caliber, a guy that's probably going to be on pace or be in the conversation for being a first-round pick as a cornerback in the NFL draft next year, like, there were some serious issues there. And more than anything, I think it's just about, like, he needs a bounce-back game. He needs to have a performance that makes us sort of reinstitute our confidence in him. And the other thing I'll give you, the Buckeyes' defensive line versus Nebraska's offensive line, because this Nebraska offensive line has given up 14 sacks this year. That's 68th overall in college football. It's tied with like a whole bunch of different teams, but it's 68th. And there are some opportunities to get to the quarterback. There are some opportunities to make some plays. Dylan Raiola is not the most mobile quarterbacks. Like, he's not out here running around a lot and doing a ton with his feet. He actually, statistically, he has like negative rushing yards because of how many times he's been sacked at this point so far this season. And so there should be opportunities to get to the quarterback, to make life hard for Dylan Raiola, and to not let him, you know, get off the mat, if you will. And given, again, how this team played against Oregon, I need to see them dominate in offensive line to sort of reinstill some confidence in their ability to make those plays against the superior or level teams that they're going to face come college football playoff time, assuming they get there. So, yeah, Dylan Raiola is not this mobile quarterback. He's a guy that is going to be in the pocket more. And so if they can't get pressure on him in this matchup against a Nebraska team that has given up a bunch of sacks this year, then we have some serious problems as the rest of the season plays out. My educated wish, which is a line from Deadpool. Yes, if you're a Deadpool fan, that's what it is from. But it is kind of our way of saying the thing that we want to see the most in this matchup, the thing that we're really looking for in this game to sort of make us feel good about the Buckeyes or make us feel good about a certain area of the Buckeyes. And for me, I'm just going to say pure dominance. Indiana curb stomped this team last week. And Indiana, I am not trying to downplay Indiana. They have been an impressive team this year. They're on Ohio State's schedule. And we'll talk here coming up about the importance of that Penn State game next week, because if you lose that one, Indiana is like the only good team left on your schedule. And so you know that game's going to matter, and Indiana's having a really, really impressive season. So I'm not trying to downplay Indiana, but Indiana curve stomped this team. If you're a real national title contender, like Ohio State is supposed to be, you should also curb stomp this team. You cannot be losing to the Patrick Mahomes impersonator, okay? I know that he was almost going to be a Buckeye, and he probably would be doing all this sticky stuff here where he's acting like Patrick Mahomes and he's got the same haircut and all this different stuff. But guys, he was under duress last week against Indiana. He did not look good. They put up, what, 7 points, I think they scored in that game. Like, it was an ugly, ugly performance for Nebraska. And, like, you should be able to do the same thing and wreak the same sort of havoc that Indiana did if you are truly a national title contender. And if you're not, then this is a real, like, look-in-the-mirror moment. So I want to see pure dominance. I want to see them get to dominate, get back to dominating a football team. And that's the big hiccup for me, or that's the big thing right now for me that I'm going into this saying as my educated wish. It would make me feel better about things after having 2 weeks to sort of sit and stew on what happened in the Oregon game if they just come out and they just absolutely dominate this matchup, which is what I think should happen. And then lastly, guys, courtesy of our friends at FanDuel, we give you the odds in this game. Ohio State, as I mentioned them dominating Nebraska or needing to dominate Nebraska, they are 25.5-point favorites at home against the Cornhuskers. So if that makes you feel any better, Ohio State is favored very, very heavily in this game. The money line, if you want to bet Nebraska, is plus 1,600, so you can win some decent money there. And the over-under is 48.5, which tells you if they only think the over-under is 48.5, they do not think much of this this Nebraska team. They assume that Ohio State is going to, like, blow them out with while keeping it, you know, maybe not scoring more than, like, 30-something points, and Nebraska only gets, like, 10. So that's kind of an interesting nugget for you there in terms of – which is a blowout, to be fair. But, yeah, so that's an interesting little thought there. I'm going to go ahead and say, and this feels maybe a little bit crazy because Ohio State is 3-3 against the spread this year. And I have lacked some confidence in them after the Oregon performance, but I'm going to go ahead and say that they're going to come out ready to go in this game and re-energize with sort of this new purpose after the bye week, and that they're going to take care of business against a team that they should dominate the same way Indiana did. So I'm going to say they actually cover the 5.5 points. What say you? Do you think the 25.5 points? That is a massive, massive margin, but I'm going to say they cover it. What say you, do the Buckeyes cover the 25.5 point spread that Vegas has them favored by? What is your educated wish? What do you want to see from this team? And what is the upset scale? How worried are you about an upset in this matchup against Nebraska? That is our preview portion of the show. When we get back, I explain why I'm still upset. I will get into why the bye week last week was the worst possible thing for this Ohio State team. And does the Penn State game on the other side of this weekend's matchup decide the state of Ohio State season? We'll talk about all those things and more when we get back here on Sons of the Shoe.